reading is in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 23. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And he entered the synagogue, and a man that was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. So we have two instances recorded here where it is involving the Sabbath. And as you know, the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest, just as the Lord rested on the seventh day from the work of creation. He was telling man to likewise rest on the day of Sabbath and for them to take that opportunity to focus themselves and, you know, think about God as well as take that break from work. We're not that far into the book of Mark, but we're already seeing that that intensity of opposition to Jesus is increasing. It's getting pretty serious. And those that are opposing him are bombarding him with hostility, with complaints, with rejection, with testing, trying to catch him in something so that that complaint can have some validity, at least in their own eyes or in the eyes of the people that are around them. And so here in Mark chapter 2, we have what we might call a technicality. And you should know that the Pharisees have had by this time developed all sorts of little rules and extra laws, if you could call them that, concerning the Sabbath. All these regulations about what you could or couldn't do, and sometimes even loopholes to allow them to do what they really wanted to do. So they're going through this grain field, and also you should know that whenever the owners of those fields would plant them with grain, they were instructed to plant along the edges and the corners, and that would be for those that were in need so that they could have some sustenance. And so they would leave those sections of the field for those that needed them. And that's what the disciples are doing. They're going along, they're plucking some grain, they're sifting that in their hands so that they can eat that grain. I can't imagine that it was enjoyable to eat raw grain that way, but if you're hungry, that's what you do. And that's the instance that we find them in here. These Pharisees are very quick to jump out here and say that this is not lawful for them to do. They're saying, "Well, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" So what were the disciples doing? Were they working? In other words, is there a job that they are undergoing that's their normal workload? No, that's not what they're doing. Are they cooking and preparing food? No, they're not doing that either. But here they are, walking along, they're hungry. In other words, they need food for the day. And so they grab what is there and they eat it. They're eating it raw. So under the law of the Sabbath, I don't think that this was truly unlawful. It was unlawful according to their own rules and regulations, but not according to what God had stated. But nonetheless, Jesus uses someone to illustrate this concept that they were unwilling to criticize, and that was David. And so, verse 25 and 26, he points out what David did, that they ate of the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for them to eat, but they were in another situation in which they were hungry, they needed sustenance. And so that which was made for the priests to sustain them, God blessing them with that, was now being used to fulfill a merciful need. And so he knew that they wouldn't criticize David. He uses them as an example, and so they can't really say anything. But Jesus makes this statement, the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, the Sabbath was made to bless man. God intended it to be a blessing to them. But what the Pharisees have done is made it a burden. They've turned around and made it a burden where man has to serve the Sabbath instead of the Sabbath serving man. The Sabbath was meant to be a blessing. And so he ends that little encounter with the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Then this other occasion, which they're in the synagogue, and you have this man with a withered hand. And they knew the compassion of Jesus. They knew his merciful nature. They knew that he did lots and lots of healings. And so they're watching to see whether he would heal him because, again, this is a Sabbath day. And it says, so that they might accuse him. They're waiting to pounce on him. They're waiting to jump on him. They're not trying to engage in a discussion. They're not trying to come to a spiritual truth. They simply want to accuse Jesus. Now, Jesus knows this. He knows what's going on. He intentionally then tells this withered man, come here. Yes, he's being compassionate, but he's also turning this around in order to test the Pharisees now. And so he asks the question, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? And they were silent. They knew that they could not answer that question and still be able to accuse him. Because it was lawful, it was merciful, as we see in other passages and accounts in the Gospels, that it was lawful if an animal, for example, one of their animals was in a life-threatening situation, that they would go and rescue that animal, they would go and help that animal. So when he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or do harm or save life or kill, he knows what their answer would be, and they know what the answer is, but that they won't answer. And Jesus is angry because they're unwilling to be merciful because they want to accuse him. Their own desires and their own wants are so strong that they're willing to be unmerciful, unloving, ungodly in order to be able to do what they want, which is accuse Jesus. And so at the hardness of their heart, he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And his hand was then restored. And it says the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him. This was handled by Jesus in such a way that they cannot accuse him to the people. They couldn't answer him, but they're going to go back behind the scenes and they're going to make accusations and they're going to plot and they're going to determine things that they can do. So let me ask you a question. Something that Jacob Hudgens wrote on this reading provoked a thought within me. And I'm thinking about all the laws that God gives us. We understand that God has authority. He gets to say what's right and what's wrong. He gets to say what's righteous and what's unrighteous. But why does he tell us? Why does he give us laws? Why does he tell us certain things are sins? Is it simply because he doesn't want us to do those things? Or is there a bigger reason? I think we need to realize that God does everything for a purpose. And the reason that he tells us something is sin, the reason that he gives us laws, is so he can bless us with a holy life. Are we still going to need his mercy and his grace? Absolutely. But he's blessing us with that understanding so that we can live a life that's pleasing in his sight. We can live a faithful life. And living a faithful life means that we gain his blessings and that we gain eternal life. And so the next time you think that one of God's rules, regulations, or laws is too restrictive, just look for the blessing. Look for the reasoning behind what God does. God is blessing us so immensely, and we need to realize those blessings. We need to take joy in the fact that God has told us how to live faithfully and righteously in His sight. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.